So I'll pull up the other, and unless somebody has a question, I'll pull up the other charting, which would be this. And not looking at that, going back up. Okay, is everybody good?
I see the chart. Yep.
Okay, and you know the whole chart. I'm just showing us part of it that we'll work on. Keeping the rest of the chart in mind, we're going to incorporate now some suggestive way, just with this for not just ourselves, but some others that might look at this, how to utilize this chart from the method that we're bringing to the page. Again, up in the pink on the right, the high title header there to the right of the Sabbath rest is looking out from this life. What is John teaching us about this life? And again, that's what we just are talking about, this knowing the life of God as our very own. What does John want us to see, recognize, understand, rely upon about this life within us? Now, I'm just going to jump back to the paragraph in chapter 4, see if I can get it big for us here. That ought to do it, huh? Everybody can see. Okay. Now, with the same frame of mind that we just are working with, as he is, so am I in this world, that's the backdrop for this paragraph. As he is, so am I in this world. So let me just read this paragraph, and then we'll kick it off with some questions I have on the chart. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit which confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit which does not confess Jesus is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you heard that it was coming, and now it is in the world already. Now, we know chapters 1, 2, and 3. We know from fellowship with this life, the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, in the first paragraph of chapter 1, up into chapter 3, where we have the nature of God as our very own. It is ours. And his nature and his life in us is greater than it. Even if our heart would condemn us, we know the resident life of God is in us, and he keeps us, and so on, as he is, so on in this world. So we know that coming to this. We know now that John here is presenting to us a further development of trying to bring us to a place of assurance in this life, that not only that it can actually... we abide in him, and in this fellowship and knowing him, we walk in the light, and we keep his word, and all that type of stuff, which is kind of internal stuff. And then also a culmination of our walking in this world, as we walk even as he walked, and so on. And now in this paragraph, we have an exercise that actually is expressive, or goes out from us. But the one question I want to push us to is John is well aware that he's writing to his brothers and sisters who are in a fellowship and a joint experience of this life, as the life of God, and as God exists and is, and is expressed by himself. And we're all mutually in this fellowship. The part here also is, even though it talks about Jesus Christ kind of in the third party here, is that this paragraph was true of him also. So let's just look at it briefly from the perspective that as Jesus walked, so he walked with this degree, with this stuff about believing spirits and false prophets in the world. And he walked knowing the context of Jesus Christ having come in the flesh, and he walked recognizing, knowing what the spirit of Antichrist was and the spirit of the world that's talked about in previous chapter, and this, the degree of that, the severity of it, and the relationship that that would have to a human being walking with the life of God in him. He knew it personally. That was his life. Once again, same one we have. So all that stuff's going on in this paragraph. And so we're really not looking at it from outside. We're looking at it from inside. And John speaking it to us from a place where he knows this from the inside looking out, as Jesus looked out and we are to look out. So if you can bring it into a perspective, you can look at that. Is everybody comfortable with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So let me read it again, and then we'll jump to the chart. So, beloved, which of course is embraces and brings us into recognizing, oh, this is the fellowship we've talked about through the whole epistle. Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Once again, I brought Jesus into this in his own life to indicate that he had to exercise this discernment also. And it came, as we saw in chapter 1, in reference to keeping God's word and keeping his commandments and loving God and abiding. Did it come as an unnatural component part of his being, or as a natural occurring in the context of a natural occurring life within him? Did he look out and see this and then exercise appropriately?
Yeah.
Okay, so then verse 2, again, this is just background. By this you know the Spirit of God, every spirit which confesses that Jesus Christ come in the flesh. This, we'll stop for a second just to be to get ourselves from an objective thing right into the subjective experience that Christ was, is that in what way did he know the reality of that verse?
Well,
we'd be asking that question in the context of before his death. So, Joffrey?
Yeah, I mean, well, he knew who he was, so he knew that he was in the flesh. So that's fairly close to home for him.
yeah, that's good. Well, how about the knowing the Spirit of God? Every spirit confesses to Jesus Christ and so on. So he was consciously aware of that. And then he also knew what? He also knew his eternal purpose, let's say, the one that's brought out in Ephesians, that he was the one to build God's house.
Yeah.
And he was the one to accomplish that, not only in his incarnation, but if it was going to be a house that had many members, many participants, many joint participants in the life of God. His being as incarnate God had to resolve all those other things that were necessary for an individual member, Curtis, Sonia, Joffrey, or me, or anybody else, in reference to a child of God, that what was true in him would be true for them. So, projecting, he knew the need for his finished work and so on. But
yeah, Mark, just one thing here in this verse 2.
Yeah,
it's never occurred to me before that it's strange phrasing from John, because he says, by this you know the Spirit of God, every spirit which confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Well, Jesus Christ is the flesh. It would make more sense if he said, every spirit which confesses that the Son of God has come in the flesh is of God. You know, but he doesn't say that. You know, there's and it's a strange phrasing where and he makes Jesus Christ and the Son of God as synonymous. They are one and the same, basically.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And why does he do that? When he said confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, what's he doing there? Because you're right. It certainly makes you take note.
Mm-hmm.
But the title's name Jesus Christ. I mean, there's been all kinds of treatises and lectures and sermons and all that type of stuff. reference to Jesus Christ and his name and all that type of thing. But what's John doing here? Initially, we certainly all agree he's talking about the person that they're all aware of, that not in too distant past from the writing of this epistle and the people that he's writing to were aware walked planet Earth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody else saying something? No. So confess that Jesus, what is it? So then just as long as we're into it here, what is it? We've talked about it already, but what is it to confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? Is it simply an acknowledgement or a statement of the historicity of the fact that Jesus Christ was birthed, walked planet Earth, and was a human?
No, it's all to do with accepting the incarnation, that Jesus Christ is the incarnate God.
Exactly. Yes. All right. Then let's bring that into confession. And by this, you know the Spirit of God.
Well, wouldn't we only really truly know the Spirit of God by knowing Christ in our flesh?
Everybody in agreement with that, raise your hands.
Yes.
Mine's up.
Yep.
So, initially, they're inherent in this are several different things. One of which is exactly what Curtis just got through saying, is that, for instance, I'm talking to you guys, you're talking to me. One of the things we know about each other, the first paragraph, 1 John, this fellowship, when a brother or sister confesses to me or states to me, and we talked about this, I think, last week or the week before, and in times past before that, is that, how do I know somebody else is a Christian?
Well, their confession.
Their confession, but it's more than an articulate utterance of words.
Yes.
Somehow they indicate to me that they know this Jesus Christ like I do, like you do. And that gives us our confidence that they're a brother or sister. Somehow, when that happens, we start talking to them different.
Yeah.
I mean, and that confession, the confession of their life is that they know this Jesus Christ.
Right.
So just
again,
we
could rephrase that. And you could say every person who gives us the perception that they are the expression of God, or that God is being expressed through them, then they are of God. Because confessing that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that that's a way of saying that they are the expression of God.
And by that, by the evidence of their confession, we're talking about evidence, not just a verbal articulation.
Yeah.
But the evidence of that. I guess we'll tie it up with this for this paragraph. How's that fit into don't believe every spirit, or testing the spirits, however you want to put it, how's that work with this paragraph? How we just honed that? Do we have an assurance? Do we know that then walking as he walked, going out and the life of God expressing himself in me, in interaction with other people? How do I test those spirits and so on? I think it's pretty obvious here, but let's say it.
Okay. You could make it really clear, because, you know, God knows those who are his. And because God is our life and we are one with him, therefore we just know who are his.
And we recognize, see, and interact with what?
With
besides
him.
Besides the eyeballs. Yeah. His life that's coming out of that person.
Yes. We can just trust that we know those who are of God.
So something like Billy Bob over here, I'm so glad he's my brother because I met my Jesus in him.
Yes.
So that brings some sort of meaning to those types of that kind of statement.
Yeah, and in those, I think that's where we have to just trust in him keeping us so that we don't get deceived or misled or misunderstand people, because we can so double guess ourselves.
And, well, we have an inherent caution. Some of us in the Times Test might have thrown it away by the generic statements of many people saying they're Christian people. But John gives us here an aware ability to recognize inherent in us mm-hmm. is the ability to know those that are of God and those that are not because of their experience with Jesus Christ. And I think also, and stop me if you think I'm pushing it too far, but gives us actually almost a direction to exercise that capability that we have in communing with other people to verify for our own self-centered comfort that in order to relax in your presence, I need to know whether you're my brother or my sister.
Yes.
Does that make sense, everybody?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that then, and again, he's brought us to a place in this paragraph, halfway through the epistle, that I'm beginning to get comfortable with the life of God in me. And this paragraph gives us a practical utility. Now, you know so far, go test it. And we've got things that we can use to test in the first three chapters of recognizing the life of God in other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his love, his lack of hatred, his attitude towards the world, you know, all that type of stuff, whether, and you wouldn't put a tag on it, well, that makes you a Christian person. No, what we're looking for is meeting and knowing the same spirit we have. And we know what it's built on. Let me just, one more thing to close with that is something that we've pushed and we come back to. How do I know I'm a child of God? We start right there with the blood of Jesus Christ and the removal of guilt, and I have peace with God, and my heart cries out, Abba, Father. And in the context of a confession of someone else, those things, at least initially, I would think, seem to be quite easy to recognize.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's hard for somebody to be dishonest about those. Because who would talk like that if it wasn't true? Anyway, we'll close this paragraph off. We'll hit the chart next time and start out there and then move on to the next paragraph. Are we all comfortable with where we've ended up today then?
Yes, definitely.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. I'm showing this last page here. I assume I couldn't hear you, Sonia. And then I'm not picking on you. Up here you see the chart on the website. The Skype chart that we're going to work off next time is up there. Skype chart lesson. There's a template for additional pages that have the boxes blank. That's a single page PDF that you can use. And when you pull that up in Adobe Reader, you can save as many of them as you want. So you got to download it to make it a functional thing. And then the previous lessons are up there. Okay. Any questions?
No.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together today. We thank you for the honesty we can have with each other. Jaffe pointing out what was becoming readily apparent to all of us that we needed to slow down, get back to a more personal, intimate way to deal with each paragraph and take our time. And we're in no rush. We want to be led by you and trust you to bring the revelation and understanding to us that is essential to each one of us in our relationship. Trust you to fill our hearts with love overflowing for our neighbors, which we can't spend much time with this week. But and we also would trust you to put on our prayers and our intercession the needs that you would share with us in regards to our country and the witness of your people that reside here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.